We all know that feeling. You open your closet. It's full, but you have literally nothing to wear. Story of my life, you guys. Enter Armoire. Armoire allows you to rent high-quality designer clothing for every occasion. Whether you're planning your outfit for a date, or packing for a conference for work, or you need a gown for a black tie event, you will always be the best dressed person in the room without ever having to brave a fitting room with fluorescent lights. Armoire makes getting dressed easy. With a clothing rental membership from Armoire, build the perfect wardrobe with brands that are high quality, unique, and recommended just for you. All you have to do is take a 5-minute style quiz and select items from your dynamic personalized closet, and then the styles show up at your door in as little as 2 days. And then when you're ready for new clothes, you just swap them out for more new to you styles. But here's the deal. Armoire is also women-founded and women-led. They even spotlight women-owned designers on their website. So I know that I'm wearing brands that are aligned with my values. And if you're listening to my podcast, probably yours. I love that I can support a business that's built by women like me. And if you're ready to have your dream closet delivered to your door, you've got to try Armoire. I promise you will never be without the perfect outfit for any occasion ever again. How about that? So right now, my listeners can give Armoire a try and get up to 50% off their first month. That's up to $125 off. Just visit armoire.style/DSG. So that's Armoire, Armoire, .style/DSG to get up to 50% off your first month and never worry about what to wear again. Try Armoire today. Welcome to another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast, where we have real, honest, smart, and sometimes even hilarious conversations about co-parenting, separation, and divorce, and all that goes along with that. I'm Kate Anthony, your divorce survival guide, certified life and relationship coach, and happily divorced mom who helps women decide if they should stay in or leave their marriages and then guides them through the process one step at a time. Hey everyone, thanks for joining me for another episode of the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. Today I have an awesome guest interview for you, but before we get to the wonderful and amazing Karen McMahon of Journey Beyond Divorce, I want to tell you of a few exciting changes that are coming up. So basically, the podcast is getting a facelift. So, all right, the first thing you may have noticed already is that we have new cover art. So don't be surprised if the podcast looks different in the whatever app you use to listen. It's still me and the same content that you have come to love and appreciate. But after almost 2 years, I thought it was time to have a little bit of a refresh of some stuff around here. So that's one of them. And then starting in November, there are a few other changes that are coming your way. The first is a new intro. So again, don't be surprised if you hear me saying different things, right? Your ear kind of gets attuned to what I say to my intro, right? So we're just going to shake that up a little bit. And so that'll come starting in the next episode that you hear. And then, you know, the other thing that is really exciting is that starting in November, the Divorce Survival Guide podcast will be coming to you weekly as opposed to twice a month. So twice a month, I'm now going to be doing dedicated solo episodes where I'm going to talk to you about things that I think are super important. And a lot of times these topics are going to be culled from the conversations that we're having over in my Facebook group. So please, if you are not in that group, be sure to join today. I cannot stress to you the importance of the conversations that we're having over in that group. It's super active. It's super, super engaged. And if you want more personal access to me, that's where you're going to get it.
I'm in there a lot answering people's questions and building relationships in there. So you can find the link in the show notes as always, or you can search, should I stay or should I go, in your Facebook browser, and it will come up for you. Again, this group is for women only. Okay. So the last change that you're going to hear in the next few months is that I'll be having some sponsors of the podcast, which means that I will be doing some super organic, not cheesy advertising. Now, this is really exciting to me because it means that I'll be able to bring you more and more of the free content that you love. The only reason that I will be able to be doing this podcast for you weekly is because of these sponsorship relationships that I'm developing. So here's the deal. I am going to be very picky about the sponsors I bring on, and I will never bring on a sponsor or advertise anything to you that I haven't A, personally tried, and that doesn't directly relate to you. So for example, one of my future sponsors is a co-parenting app that I have been road testing and that I simply love. And I think it'll help ease your burdens. So sponsorship with this company makes a lot of sense. It makes sense to me, and more importantly, it makes sense to you. Okay, so that's it for the changes. Let's dive into today's episode. So today I bring to you my interview with Karen McMahon. Karen is the founder of Journey Beyond Divorce, and it is her absolute passion, as is mine, to help men and women navigate the emotional difficulties of relationships, breakups, and divorce. Karen truly believes that doing this sort of deep exploration will open up the possibility that your current relationship challenges can lead to a rewarding voyage of self-discovery and an immensely more pleasing life experience. Karen founded Journey Beyond Divorce in 2010 after discovering that the pain of dissolving her own marriage had been the very stimulus for her personal transformation. And you know that I am down with that story. So here now is my conversation with Karen McMahon. Karen, thank you so much for being here and for sharing your wisdom with my people.
I am very excited. Thanks for the invite.
Yeah. So your company, your business, your coaching practice, you're a divorce coach, and your company is called Journey Beyond Divorce. And I think that, you know, we've talked about, and we're in agreement on the fact that no matter where you are in your process, right, whether you're approaching divorce, whether you're in the middle of it, or whether you are in fact beyond it, right, the whole thing is an arc. There's a journey, right, to get through it. And that no matter where you are, whether you're trying to decide to stay or go, which is the focus of a huge part of my work with women, right. Whether you're in the middle of it, it doesn't matter, right? It's so emotionally charged from start to finish.
It's so emotionally charged. And I chose that name because, as you're saying, every piece of it is its own journey, a journey to acceptance that this is what you have to do, a journey to forgiveness, which is a very bumpy, long journey often, a journey to acceptance on the other side of, oh my goodness, now the fight is over, the legal battle is over, and I still have a relationship with this person if I have children. Like, every piece of it is this unfolding journey, and I think that rather than yearning for the destination, learning through the journey is really a big part of what makes the difference and allows us to grow and be healthier, right?
I love that. And I was just having a conversation just like this with a client of mine who's in the should I stay or should I go conversation. And we were also talking about femininity and leaning into the feminine and how uncertainty and not being in the not knowing and being in the journey is actually a very sort of sacredly feminine place. Like, it's a very surrendered feminine place.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And holding that space. And I think that learning how to trust that you don't need to have all of the answers, and that just being there, tuning into the next best step is our guide. That's that intuitive guide.
Yes. Yes. And I love that, right? That it is, it's the net being in the process, being aware of just the next, you know, as you and I have similar language around this about taking the next right action. This is not about taking all of the steps. It's not about getting to the other side quickly, because you can get to the other side quickly, right, but you've just kind of stepped over and skipped a whole bunch of really important shit that's going to catch up to you in the end. So you may as well not skip it.
Right.
Right. But that it is, it's a slow process that only requires you to take the next action and then the next action.
That's so true. And some of my clients who struggle with that, you know, what I like to say is, if I could give you a fast forward button, yeah, and you could just jump over all of this, mm-hmm, you would miss the treasure in the pain, right? Like all of the personal growth. You would be the same on the other side. And what would you do? You would meet the same guy or the same gal in a different body and rinse and repeat. So as painful as the journey is more about us getting to a new place than just getting to the end of the divorce.
That's so gorgeous. And it's exactly, as you know, like so in line exactly with, you know, we're speaking the same language, girl. Right. It sucks. And, you know, this is why the divorce rate for second and third marriages is so fucking high.
Exactly. Exactly.
Cause people want to fast forward. They don't want to feel it. They don't want to deal with it. Well, you know, whatever you skip over and don't feel is going to come right back at you in a different way.
Yeah. Yeah. I think that a saying that I'll hear is, why does this keep happening to me? Mm-hmm. As opposed to, right, let's turn that around. What is it that I continue to do to create and draw this relationship type into my life? And that's the difference. And I think you and I spoke about this prior, is that constantly putting the mirror up and looking at your part in and how you've gotten where you are and where you want to go.
Right. Exactly. Exactly. And I always say, even if he was one raving motherfucker, you still, yeah, chose him. You still have some part in this dynamic, right? He could have been, you know, it's not about fault or blame. It's about responsibility. It's about, and there's nothing more empowering than personal responsibility. There's just nothing.
Right? And that's what I was just going to say. All of the power, while you're focusing on your spouse or your ex or your soon to be ex, you have no power in that space.
Exactly.
When you're focusing on yourself, and divorce is, there's so much about the process of divorce that's out of our control. There's just so much. You can't control your attorney. If you're in court, you certainly can't control the unfolding of that. You have no control over your soon to be ex. But the one place where you have control and power is in you, in the decisions you make, in noticing your reactions, in changing your thought patterns, in noticing and adjusting behaviors. And that's actually why we created the 12-step program, the 12-step divorce recovery program, because we basically took, me and my partner Lisa took all of the coaching we'd done over years and said, what are the obstacles that our clients consistently face, and how can we create like a roadmap? And it's really about the emotions of an emotional roadmap to help them, number one, keep the focus on themselves, mm-hmm, number two, grow and feel empowered through the process that can feel really out of control.
Yes, I love it. I love that. So speaking of your 12-step program, so this is you have a 12-step program. Tell us a little broad overview of the program since you mentioned it.
Yeah. So we have a 12-step divorce recovery program that is not the Al-Anon, Alcoholic Anonymous type of 12 steps. It's really steps that we created based on the emotional obstacles that our clients have faced, like looking at all of our clients that are pretty standard and pretty typical. And so one talks about conflict, and one talks about chaos, and one talks about healing, and one talks about presence, and one talks about judgment, and one talks about resistance. And so what we did was we said, what are the elements that clients tend to trip over and struggle with? And you know, my experience has been that divorce is absolutely painful. There's no doubt about it. And yet there's a lot of suffering that happens that's not necessary. Yeah. And so the 12 steps is really to help you navigate the pain, noticing your part in the suffering and using that as an opportunity to refine, heal, grow throughout this difficult process.
Yeah, I love that. What is the slogan that pain is necessary, suffering is optional, right? Is that what it is?
Exactly. That's exactly
I'm it. Reaching back into my back in my brain. Yeah, absolutely. Right. And there are, so what do you say to clients who are suffering and really sort of, you know, there are people who are actually quite committed to their suffering.
Yes. Yes. And so I, even this morning, I was speaking to a new person who called, and just so much suffering and so much struggling. And one of the things I find is resistance to what is, resistance perhaps to the fact that you had to get a divorce, which resistance could mean guilt and shame and fear, resistance to how your spouse shows up. This is where I tend to get people to chuckle. I can't believe he did X, Y, and Z. Oh, okay. Has he ever done it before? Constantly for the last 15 years of our marriage. Okay. So I want you to notice and explain to me and you why you can't believe. And then the light bulb goes off.
Right.
Well, I can believe. And just what is staying in I can't believe and I'm surprised and upset doing for you? And so the shift out of resistance, now you don't have to like whatever the behavior is, but accepting that that is that person's way of being.
Yeah.
Instead of being shocked and appalled and surprised and upset and triggered by it, immediately brings some space, immediately allows for actually a shift in energy to, well, now that I accept it, what are my options?
Right.
So if your spouse always shows up late to pick up the kids, instead of constantly being triggered, how about a plan B? So if, for instance, he shows up late the next time, it has no impact on you. And that's the kind of thing that allows people, in my opinion, to shift out of suffering.
Yeah.
You guys, warmer, sunnier days are calling, and you're going to want to fuel up for them with Factor's no prep, no mess meals. Factor's fresh, never frozen meals are dietitian approved, and they're ready to eat in just 2 minutes. So no matter how busy you are, you're always going to have time to enjoy nutritious, great tasting meals. And I know that's really important to you guys right now. You're going through a hard time. You're in emotional upheaval, maybe some chaos, really good, healthy, nutritious meals in 2 minutes. And I'm telling you, they're so good. You've got 35 different meals and more than 60 add-ons to choose from every week. And you'll always have new flavors to explore. Treat yourself to restaurant quality meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, blackened salmon. Ugh, so good, you guys. So head to factormeals.com/DSG50 and use code DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month. So the code is DSG50 at factormeals.com/DSG50 to get 50% off your first box, plus 20% off your next month while your subscription is active. Hey, are any of you guys going through menopause or perimenopause? Ugh, you know how you can't find any comfort in your body? Or even if you're done, if you're on the other side like I am, but you still kind of feel like a wet sock on a busy highway? You've got to try Hormone Harmony. So Hormone Harmony contains science-backed herbal extracts called adaptogens. So here's the beauty about adaptogens. They help the body, wait for it, adapt to any stressors, like chaotic hormone changes that happen naturally throughout a woman's life. So it's not just for menopause. Any woman with symptoms of any hormonal imbalance can take it, but it's perfect for those horrible menopausal and perimenopausal symptoms that put a woman's life on hold. Hot flashes and night sweats, racing thoughts and low moods, poor sleep and feeling tired all the time, occasional bloating and gas. Yeah, Hormone Harmony can help with all of those things. And the biggest benefit, feeling like myself again. That's what women mention over and over and over again in their reviews. And there are over 17,000 reviews for Hormone Harmony. So for a limited time, you can get 15% off on your entire first order at happymammoth.com. Just use the code DSG at checkout. That's happymammoth.com and use the code DSG for 15% off today.
And if he's somebody who's always late and he consistently shows up late and you know that he's going to be late, the definition of insanity is doing the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result, right? So if you expect him to be on time and continue to get mad when he's not on time, you're the crazy one.
Or your part in the crazy dance. Exactly. It's like, it's your part in the crazy dance. Mm-hmm. And step one in the 12-step program is curb the conflict.
Okay.
And so everyone can relate to that. It's like, no matter what kind of a divorce you're getting a divorce, there's conflict. And even if you're conflict avoidant, for those of you listening who are conflict avoidant, yeah. Conflict isn't just fighting. Conflict is feeling worried and anxious, frustrated, like all the inner conflict. And so step one of the 12-step program speaks to both of those. How do you begin to curb the conflict? And the first thing, and the most important tool that comes out of step one is to slow your reaction, right? To create some space. Bite your tongue. Don't jump on the keyboard and write back. Don't lash out with your words. Like, take a couple of deep breaths, create some space. Notice what's going on with you. Notice, are you going from 0 to 100? And are you really triggered? In 12-step programs, they say when it's hysterical,
it's historical. Yep.
So it's like, if you have a 0 to 100 reaction, he or she, your spouse, is just the messenger. That reaction dates back to earlier in your life. That's something that you've experienced over and over again. When you create space and you slow your reaction, you have that opportunity to say, I know what's going on with him or her. I like know their faults, right? Up one side and down the other. What's going on with me? And again, that's where the treasure is. That's where the gifts are.
That is where the gold is. I mean, it is so where the gold is. There was a reading, I remember a reading in The Courage to Change about that, right? About putting spiritual space between yourself and the problem. And that was all, it's always one of the, like, you know, this was 20 years ago that I first read that and was like, oh, like, what is that? And I love the fact that it was spiritual space, right? But there's putting spiritual space between myself and my problem will then slow my reaction, right? Yeah. I almost feel like I want to get into that a little bit deeper, only because I think you and I speak at a, you know, have experience with this, but for people who are kind of new to this or in the middle of it, like, what does it mean to slow a reaction? What does it mean
to put space between yourself and your reaction, or spiritual space between yourself and the problem.
And I think a good place to start is to understand the reactiveness. And so when we're triggered, and Eckhart Tolle calls it the pain body. Mm. In like a flash of a second, this pain body takes over. I mean, we've all experienced it, right? It's like you want to text back right away. You want to lash back right away. And what happens is that emotional wave is like a fog, and you have temporarily lost access to your logical mind.
Yes.
In that moment, it's like, just like you can't see a foot ahead of you in a thick fog when you're driving, you can't see logically. And so when you lash out in that moment, that's why it's called blind rage.
Right. Right.
Because you're blind, you're not seeing.
And it is, I mean, it is like there is a sort of, neurological brain, like something's happening in your brain that creates that, right? This is your fight, flight, or freeze moment, right? And you're fighting, your lizard brain is taken over, your conscious mind actually goes away. So
right.
It's not
exactly,
it's not your fault. Like this is primitive. This is primal shit, right? That, you know, this whole amygdala takeover of the brain.
Yes.
This is real.
And I think that in those moments, it's easy to, especially if you've been raised by or lived with someone who's critical, mm-hmm. it's easy right afterwards to shame yourself and guilt yourself. I've had clients say, like, I hate the human being I've become. Like, I don't know what's wrong with me. I'm crazy.
Yeah.
And it's like in those moments when your conscious mind disappears momentarily, you are in a moment of insanity, which is why the beauty of creating space is so important. And a question to ask yourself would be, well, what's the worst thing that happens if I don't respond right away?
Yeah.
What's the worst thing that happens if I pick up my phone and then I put it back down and I don't text back right away? And what's the best thing that happens?
Mm-hmm.
Right? Because then the wave goes away. And again, I go to 12-step a lot. They say, if you're upset, count to 10. If you're really upset, count to 100. That's literally the amount of time it takes for the pain body to subside,
yes.
for you to reconnect with your conscious, rational mind. And then you can say, all right, I have two things going on here. And that's the key. You always have two things going on. One is me and my trigger and how I want to deal with that. The other is him or her and the outer circumstances. So whenever we're triggered, there's an outer circumstance to take, to figure out and take action on. And then there's the inner, right? The trigger. Mm-hmm. And again, we're back to the gold.
Right. Absolutely. I love that.
So I think that we started talking about sacred space. And so number one, understanding what happens that, once you understand it, it's like, yeah, I could see where that space would be helpful.
Yes.
Right.
Yeah.
Like I could see the destruction. It's like you're tossing grenades,
mm-hmm. yes.
and there's destruction. Yes. And so about is curbing that conflict. Now the other person may be totally conflict oriented. Doesn't matter. If you do your part, if you simply stop, bite your tongue, create space, and curb the conflict, that conflict is going to subside. It may not go away altogether, but it will significantly subside when you're not participating in it.
Yes, 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 exactly. Because you can't control the other person. You can't control what they're going to do. You can't control their process. Or their growth or their healing or their rage or any of it, but you can control your reactions to it.
That sacred space, that opportunity to, and you might not be able to go within in the moment. Certainly I had very young children running around when I was in my highest conflict, but at some point to be able to say, what was that about?
Yeah.
And when we're triggered, it's either a shortcoming or a healing.
Mm-hmm.
So we're either looking to refine or to heal.
Right.
And so just to be open to what's going on with me? What's the opportunity in the trigger? What's the opportunity in the upset?
Yes.
Which just sounds hard. I mean, I have clients go, are you freaking kidding
me? Yeah, what fucking opportunity? Like,
And yet when they begin to see, wow, oh, wow. Have you ever done that before? Yeah. Mm-hmm. Who else do you do it with? Okay. Mm-hmm. Wow. Mm-hmm. How does that behavior serve you? It doesn't. How would it be to let go of what's not serving you through the difficulty of this and adopt new behaviors that are more aligned with who you want to be? Right. And beautifully, you begin to, it's like the lotus flower, yeah. Right? You begin to emerge right. In a really different way.
And it is the I think the lotus, while it is such a sort of ubiquitous metaphor, nothing could be more apt for divorce. If you choose to take that path, right? Literally nothing could be more apt than something that grows out of the darkest, murkiest, muddiest, bottom of a dirty ass lake, right? Or pond.
Absolutely.
And then blooms into this beautiful glory on the surface and has to make its way up through the murky water to the surface to bloom.
Yeah.
It's fucking gorgeous,
it's,
right?
It's a perfect metaphor for what divorce is all about.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It really is.
And I think that hand in hand, so that conflict is often what happens, you know, between our ears, like how we're thinking about things, how we're looking at things. And in our society, I really feel that, you know, emotions are something to be stuffed or numbed or, you know, pull yourself up by your bootstraps, go out and get laid by a guy, like whatever. Mm-hmm. And yet the healing part, it's such a loss. And even, I mean, I decided to leave. Whether you've been left or you decided to leave, none of us stand before whatever our altar is and commit to another person thinking, yeah, maybe, maybe not.
Right. You know, right.
None of us plan on being in this really painful place. And so the loss is very real. And as a result, if you don't feel the feelings, and step two is heal the hurt, it's really about tuning into the feelings and crying is part of it, but really, really being with, in that same sacred way, being with all of the feelings, both the shame and guilt, the fear, the regret, the hurt, the confusion, the uncertainty, being with those and processing those and releasing them.
Yeah.
It's like vomiting when you have a sour stomach. If you let that out, your belly heals faster.
Right.
And so does your heart.
Yeah, absolutely. I love that. And, you know, people are always saying like, how do I heal? How do I get through this? And, you know, the grief and there's no shortcut through grief. There's just not. And no one likes to hear it, but the, you know, the truth is that the only way over is through.
And grief is not linear. And
no.
I lost my dad back in 2012. Mm-hmm. And at that point I had been coaching for a couple of years. And what was fascinating to me was, you know, I was in all of this low energy and I wanted to get out of it. And I was trying to coach myself out of it. And it's like, there's a few things that you can't coach yourself out of, right? Like you can't coach yourself out of grief. You can't coach yourself out of hormonal reactions. And like there's a process for these things. And so with grieving, you could have a friend who, you know, gets over their divorce and moves on in 6 months, and it could take you a much longer time. And there's no right or wrong. There's no one path. There's no special formula. As much as our DNA is different, mm-hmm. so too is the way that we grieve. And if you have something that happened prior to your divorce that you didn't grieve, what I've learned is that it compounds. And so the more we grieve, even little losses, the more our heart heals to be able to handle the next one, because it's life. So there's going to be losses, right? Our step five actually is growth through grief. And the woman who I speak with, who's also a coach, is a grief specialist. Mm. And, you know, and there's a lot of conversation in there about the different ways of processing it. And of course, talking, but what if you're not an external processor, and journaling, but what if you're not a journaler? And so many different suggestions of the many different flavors and ways that you can honor where you are and what you're feeling and process it so that you can release it.
Yes.
So that you can heal from
right.
it.
Right. And you know, you're not journaling so you don't feel it. You're not talking to people so you don't feel it. You're not right. Your processing does not mean skipping over. Scott, processing is about going all the way through it. And
I think we have a society, whether you're binging on Netflix or you're going out for cocktails or you're taking a pharmaceutical drug or you're working out and running 10 miles a day. Like, there's so many ways where our society numbs and avoids. And it's actually kind of like an underlying message.
Yeah. You know?
Like you're weak, like,
yeah.
What's your problem? Come on, get on with it. It's not that big of a deal. Or how about this one? He or she isn't worth it. As if that has any impact on the healing that you have
right,
to do.
Right. Right. Really? You're going to give him that power? Like, buck up, like, don't give him the satisfaction of seeing you cry or all of that. Right. Or like, he's just a piece of shit anyway. You're worth so much more.
And it's just all about you. It's all about you and your beautiful, gorgeous, unique heart and the brokenness that you're feeling and the time and space that you uniquely need to mend.
That's so beautiful.
And there's no wrong. There's no wrong. There's no wrong way of doing it.
No one told us the truth about parenthood. Why? This is the podcast everyone needed before they had kids, because now that those little ones are here, whew, there is a lot to unpack. I'm Rachel Shepardota, and I am your host for the podcast No One Told Us, where we tell the truth about parenting and let you in on all the stuff you really should have known about before having kids. I am the founder of Hey Sleepy Baby, but this podcast is so much more than sleep. We'll be diving into all the topics that you really care about and need to know while you do your best job raising those adorable, tidy humans. Our goal is to just make you feel less alone and less overwhelmed. There are so many things that no one tells us before becoming a parent, and I think that we should really pull back the curtain on becoming a first-time or second-time mom or dad to share the good, the bad, and the ugly. We'll have a little education, a little fun, and a whole lot of heart that goes into each and every episode. So join me and our amazing guests each week to hear us talk about what no one told us.
Feel like you're the martyr in your family? You're not alone. Hey, this is Joanne.
And Bree.
And we're from the No Guilt Mom podcast. Bree, we talk to a lot of moms.
Yeah, we sure do.
And if you're a mom who has a to-do list that is so massive that you get overwhelmed and you shut down.
Or if you fall into the habit of doing everything for everyone and don't know how to change it, we can help you become a no-guilt mom.
We're going to take you from family martyr to family model. That's role model. So that you role model the behavior that you want to see out of your kids.
You're going to go from being tired and overwhelmed to energized and guilt-free.
Every week, you'll get actionable strategies that you can implement right away from the experts that we interview and from us.
We also have a whole lot of fun. So check out the No-Guilt Mom podcast everywhere you listen to your favorite shows.
Except to not do it. Right. That's, I guess, yes, exactly. Right. There's no wrong way to do it. But you got to do it.
And I think that the only caveat I have to that is, you know, one of the phases and what they call the first phase of grief is denial. And if you've found yourself stuck in denial and not, it's like a pendulum, not bouncing back and forth to any of the others, then you probably need to speak to somebody and move beyond the denial, because all of the denial, the depression, the anger, the bargaining, the acceptance, it's all part of it. And what I tell my clients is the first time you touch acceptance, and acceptance is so incredibly multi-layered, but the first time you touch acceptance, it's like, okay, you're going to bounce back and forth, but you're moving throughout. You're moving right through it. So it may feel like it's too long or too deep or too hard. You do want to feel movement. If you're simply stuck in denial, then that is.
And I love that. Thank you. And thank you for saying that. And also, you know, I think it's really important to, I love the idea that you're bouncing, right? That you really are, that there is movement, and that some people will look at that and feel that and think they're crazy, or think that they are, there's something wrong with their process, right? Actually, the movement through denial, acceptance, rage, like all of the stages, whatever they are, right? And I think that they're not as static as the seven stages, right? I think that there's lots of shit going on, right? And it could have different manifestations. Right. Like your anger may not look like outward rage. It might be like a slow boil. We all have different ways of experiencing and processing these things. But that, like, if you're actually bouncing all around, this is good. This is like an energetic movement and flow, right?
And it can feel very wrong and bad when you've been in acceptance to then find yourself under the covers, not wanting to get out of bed, and like, and this judgment, like, oh my God, what's wrong with me?
I thought I was over this. I've
made it a wrong turn. I need help. It's like, it's just another layer. It's like the scab. It's just another layer. Honor it. And it brings me back to the thought of resistance. What we resist persists. And so as long as you're willing to be open and honor wherever you are, you will move through it. If you resist it, it's like putting your foot on the brake and sitting still. Yeah. You don't want to do that. So resistance is always, the minute you notice you're in resistance, there is a shift.
Yes. Yes, absolutely. Yeah. And you know, all of this really is awareness, right?
Yes.
All of this is awareness and being sort of hyper aware of our own process, right? And staying present. You know, I think one of the most important things that you can do through a divorce process is take up a mindfulness practice, because you want to stay really present to what, not judgmental, not, you know, but present and notice.
We have practice presence is step eight. And what we find is people are either fretting the past or worrying the future, right? And so it's like, and the only place we have any power is where we are now. And so my business partner says, keep your head where your feet are. And so what happens is with all of the legal stuff going on and all of the disagreements you might be having with your spouse during the divorce, if you're worrying the uncertainty of the future, which makes sense, it makes sense that you would be worried about it. There's a tremendous amount of uncertainty, but you can't do anything about the emotions that come up as you're envisioning the nightmare that I guarantee you is never going to happen about the future. And then your spouse does something, your reactiveness is doubled, because it's not just what he or she is doing, it's the fact that you're already triggered from the nightmare that you're thinking about that never is going to happen. And you're coming with guns blazing, double guns, into the present. Whereas when you stay present, it's like, well, what do I know to be true today? Right? Which back to how we started the conversation. And what's the next step I have to do? Then when something happens, you're there, you're present, you're dealing with it. You actually have power to deal with it. There's so much of that fretting the past, worrying the future, that bleeds our emotional energy.
Yeah. And a lot of that is, you know, it's big fear, which is an inner critic drive, right? And so to just sort of know that that's what's happening. Okay, so this is my inner critic. Okay, great. What is the 2% truth? What is there? What useful small nugget is my inner critic trying to present to me? What is it trying to protect me from? And everything else we can let go of, right?
We reached out to a number of our former clients and asked them if they would they would write a blog, all on fear. And so we have a series of blogs from mostly women who time after time acknowledge that my greatest fear is never cancer.
That's so great. I love it.
And it's like over and over again, like everything I feared, all of those nightmares. And they'll write, like, look, I'm not saying it was a cakewalk. Right. It wasn't easy. Maybe it wasn't easy financially. Maybe it wasn't easy being a single parent and raising a couple of kids. I'm not saying it was easy, but those fear stories, those nightmare stories that I actually expended so much time and energy living into and reacting to never happened. Never happened. And so if you're listening and you find yourself going there, it's absolutely understandable because when we're uncertain, our mind wants to fill in the blanks. But what you notice is the mind never says, so what if I'm really successful? And what if I find the perfect partner? And what if I live in a beautiful home? None of those positive what ifs come out. Like, where does our mind go? Our mind goes to what if, like, hell and damnation is
right. What if what if I never fall in love again? What if I, you know, can't support myself and I end up homeless? What if I, like, right.
But those are the only what ifs, the negative what ifs. And that's just not real. It's just so far from real. Yeah. And time and time again, we have just had clients come back to us and go, wow. Like, I just had one client I reached out to. I couldn't believe I reached out to her to ask her if she would do a podcast, a success podcast with me. And it turned out to be her wedding day. And she was the mom of four teenagers divorcing an alcoholic. And her story was, Karen, I'm going to be alone for the rest of my life. The kids are always going to like dad better. I'm never going to. And I reached out to her and she goes, oh my God, Karen, I'm getting married today. My life is more amazing than I ever imagined. And I know you told me that and I didn't believe you. And I would love to be on your podcast. And I was like,
amazing. Wow. Amazing. Wow. Yes. Yes. And I always say, you know, that the success isn't, I just want to say this, because the success isn't always I got remarried. The success is also, you know, speaking as someone who's not remarried myself, because the biggest fear that I hear all the time is, what if I never meet anyone? And my response is, what if you don't? What if you don't? What if you become someone who is so happy and confident and loves her life so much that whether she has a man or doesn't have a man doesn't matter? Right? What if your happiness was actually not attached to another person? Now, that's not to say, like, sure, I would love to fall in love. I would love to have a partner. Absolutely. And I'm fine. And I'm okay. Right. And I'm fucking great.
I love you. I love you. And I think that, you know, one of the beautiful things that comes out of working on yourself through divorce is you refine how you do relationships.
100%.
When you refine it, how you do relationship. I do relationship with my children so incredibly different than my mom did relationship.
Oh, hell yeah.
And I remember it wasn't this Valentine's Day. I am also, I have not yet met the man that I'm going to marry, and I know I will, and I'm excited about him and us, and I'm not there yet.
Yep, me too. I'm right there with you. And, right there with you.
Yeah, and not everyone wants that, but that's me. But there was, I think it was two Valentine's days ago, and I thought, I have such a depth and wealth of friends and relationships, my relationships with my sisters, with my mom, with my kids, with my church fellowship, with everyone. And I was like, I am so incredibly lucky. And when I was married and before I did all this work, I never even looked at relationship that way. And so a richness of life is having a relationship with the work you do, with the people that you live around, with your family, with your friends, with your passions, with your desires. And so everything's a relationship. What's your relationship with forgiveness? What's your relationship with money? And when you use this transition of all transitions, which gives you an opportunity to refine every one of those relationships, you emerge brilliantly. And then you're also in an energy space, an emotional energy space, where you can manifest what you want, because your focus is on what you're capable of, right? And you stand on the shoulders of a success of just navigating this transition and rocking it, right?
Absolutely.
And that, I think, is what you and I, like, I know it's what we wish for every person who is out there going.
Absolutely. 100%. That's exactly what I want. I want for all, especially for women. I want that for women because I think that we are culturally conditioned to believe that we can't have it, that we don't deserve it, that whatever it is, right? And so, you know, if you said to a man, men just don't have that same cultural conditioning of, you know, they don't get to have things, you know, they don't get nice things. Right.
And I think that it's really hard if you're listening in and you're in the early stages, you know, what the hell do you mean? Where's the opportunity in this divorce? This thing sucks. This is slaying me. This is like the hardest thing I've ever gone through in my life. And I remember doing a speech once and I was doing some research and there was a great quote. I'm not going to do it justice at all, but it talked about how those who have experienced the greatest success did it on the shoulders of what dissolved for them, of some tragedy, of some crisis, of some dissolution. And it was out of the ashes of that that they became successful scientists or athletes or having a successful second marriage or just a successful life and relationship with your, like, I have two emerging adults. And for me, that I have such a gorgeous relationship with my 20-something-year-old kids is like, it just brings me all the joy in the world. And my old self would not have, you know, I had a lot of work to do on myself in order to be where
absolutely. Absolutely. I mean, I feel that way about my work, right? Neither one of us would be doing what we're doing had we not gone through what we went through.
And then even, and I think you and I talked about this, even launching your own business is a hard thing. And I think for all of the challenges and difficulties and fears that I've had over the course of the last 10 years launching my business, it was the lessons I learned in going through my divorce that gave me the tenacity, the depth of faith, the encouragement, the ability to ask for what I needed and build the support team that I needed to grow a successful business. And so it's not like you emerge from divorce and it's like, oh, this is great, I'm good. Yeah, turn the corner and the next challenge, tribulation, whatever it's going to be, because you want it, because we like step 11 and 12 talks about really living in everything we've learned through the first 10 steps and then seeing life as an adventure, that it's not about good and bad. It's actually all good, because the bad, having gone through divorce, I know that the bad is not bad. It's there to grow me and stretch me or send me in a different direction. And so all of a sudden you have a different relationship with the way you do life.
I love it. It's so true. It's so true. And it's not simple, or it's not easy, but it's actually quite simple. Right. That's it.
It's not easy. And this kind of work that you and I invite people into, it takes tremendous courage. It's so easy to blame the other person and to see their faults and to just move forward. And like you said in the beginning, and that's why we have such high, high divorce rates for second and third marriages. What's hard is to roll up your sleeves, to be really honest with yourself, to be really vulnerable with yes. your coach mm-hmm. and to look at these things and to do that hard work of changing limiting beliefs that were blueprinted on us when we were young, getting rid of the inner critic and quieting the voice when it doesn't serve us, looking at and our step three, which is called calm the chaos, is actually about the chaos in mm-hmm. our head, right? So what drives us is our inner critic, right, and the fear. It's our limiting beliefs of what should be or will happen. And then it's our assumptions and interpretations. And so the way we interpret things, right, the lens we put on, my lens is based on my unforgiveness and my judgments and my insecurities. When I start looking at that lens and changing things, it changes the way I do the world. And so there's just so much for people to see the possibility when they're willing to do this very difficult, emotional, deep work.
Yeah. Yep. Beautifully said. Beautiful, really. Karen, I feel like we could talk all day, and I'm so grateful to you for coming on and sharing this wisdom. It's just the truth of the matter. It's the heart of it, really. And I think it's so important. So thank you so much for sharing it all.
Thank you for having me on. And thank you for having this podcast. I think that in today's day and age, there's a lot of information out there. And your shows are so valuable and they guide people so beautifully. And we need more of that, because that what you do leads to the kind of healing that makes a big difference and the ripple effect from generation to generation. And so I just really want to honor, Kate, what you do. And thank you.
I really appreciate that. I really, really appreciate that. Thank you. Thank you. We're all in this together, just trying to change the world one step at a time. So Karen, where can people find you? If people are interested in this amazing 12-step process that you have, where can they find you?
So we have a podcast as well. It's on all the platforms and it's called Journey Beyond Divorce. So if you're interested in listening into the 12 steps, whatever your platform is, just search Journey Beyond Divorce. And then our website is jbddivorcesupport.com. And we've got articles and a lot of other things that you can find there. And
lots of videos. Yeah, you have lots of videos of you, which is great. Yeah. Yeah.
Videos. In fact, on YouTube, we have just little snippet videos of the 12 steps. So if you're thinking I don't have a lot of time to listen, Journey Beyond Divorce on YouTube, all the videos like 3 to 5 minutes.
Smart.
So that's another nice way of getting
good. Them. Super smart. Yeah. Love it.
Thanks.
Of course. All right. Well, more to come with us. We are, clearly aligned in so many areas. So I'm just really glad to have connected with you and to have brought you here to have this conversation.
Thanks for listening to the Divorce Survival Guide podcast. You can find me over at kateanthony.com and be sure to subscribe to this podcast on iTunes so you don't miss an episode. See you next time.
When it comes to raising kids, there's so much to consider. Things like, what do we feed them? When do we feed them? How do they sleep? What does it look like to raise kind kids? How does their nervous system work? How do I keep myself calm? What are my triggers? There's so much that comes into play, and we are distilling all of that information for you at Voices of Your Village podcast, where we bring experts in the field of early childhood and education and psychology and across the board so that you don't have to comb the internet for information. You get to show up and hang out and have shame-free, judgment-free conversations and insights into what it looks like to raise kind, empathetic, emotionally intelligent humans. I'm Alyssa Blask Campbell. I have a master's degree in early childhood education. I'm a mom of two, and I am walking this journey right alongside you doing this work. Come hang out with me at Voices of Your Village, and we can dive into real conversations with actionable tips.